several verses of the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, talking about wisdom. It says, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones."
Morning. It's good to see you this morning, and I'm a little bit more excited today than normal, in that I am so pleased to have what I've got behind me today. Nothing against you, adult choir, but it's so good to see our senior adults fill up this choir as they have, and we're going to use the hymnal, as many of us grew up doing. So if you'll take a hymnal this morning, 379, 379, "Brethren, we have met to worship." Shall we stand as we sing all verses, please? Shall we stand?
"Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray, holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Sisters, pray, holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love, pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself, serve us with sweet manna all around." Thank
you. Thank you, Brother Elmer. This morning, as we come together, we know that throughout our community and throughout even East Tennessee and all the Southeast, there's been much suffering in the last several days with the tornadoes and with death. And this morning I was asked by Brother Jack Roddy, our Director of Missions, to share an email with you from Jack concerning the response here in Northeast Tennessee to the tornadoes. It says, "Hello, brethren. Our hearts and prayers go out to everyone affected by this week's storms in our region and beyond. Our gratitude is extended to everyone responding to the needs, especially those here in our association. At this point, it appears that 30-plus homes in Johnson County are 80% to 100% destroyed. We do not have a reliable number of individuals displaced or with urgent needs, but they're being discovered with each trip out into the neighborhoods. The need is great, especially Butler to Deauville and Pleasant Valley Road into the Shady Valley area. Our laundry unit is in operation at Bethany Baptist, where it's close to many of the homes affected, and it will remain as long as needed. Two Tennessee Baptist Convention chainsaw teams are due to arrive, one team Sunday evening and another team Monday afternoon. We appreciate Bill and Phyllis Eisenhower for housing them at their cabin in Deauville. Several churches have agreed to feed them, and if your church could help us with this or provide food, water, snacks, etc., please call Johnny or Mitzi Hobbs. And he gives the number. Counseling clinic for storm victims will be open Tuesday and beyond, located at Bethany Baptist. Art Webb will be coordinating this. Red Cross coordinators in Johnson County are calling for help with urgently needed supplies, which we are right now lacking. We believe this may be resolved soon, yet if anyone can help provide these, it would help fill the gap. Water, blue tarps, food, baby food, and diapers. Please call for more specific information. A number of pastors have been on the roads each day finding and meeting needs, as well as leading teams going out to help. There are many kinds of help needed, so please call if you're available, especially if you have a truck or trailer you could bring to help remove debris or people's possessions as they relocate. Volunteers are welcome to work in the laundry unit in this instance, even if they haven't been trained and certified. And we're asked to share this with our congregation today. If you're interested in lending a helping hand to those up in Johnson County, particularly, that's Watauga Association. Watauga Baptist Association encompasses both Carter County and Johnson County. And if you're interested in helping with this relief effort, please, if you would either call the association office or if you'd see me, I'll be glad to try to do what I can to put you in touch with those that you can assist. Let's begin now today with prayer. Father, as we come together this day, we come first of all to praise you for who you are. Certainly, you're the sovereign God, high and lifted up upon the throne. Lord, nothing is escaping this day, or nothing even happened this past week that escaped your attention. Lord, you know all, and you see all. And Lord, you even orchestrate all, even though sometimes that's even hard to understand at all. But Lord, we know that in the end, you bring about good, and you bring about your glory. And so this day we pause in the midst of all that's happened in this past week, and we thank you. And we praise you for who you are. And we thank you this day that we come together and why we were spared personally and as a church and as a community and here in Elizabethton, that why we were spared and others were hit. We don't understand that. Certainly we don't deserve that. But we thank you, Lord, for your gracious hand of protection. And Lord, today now we pray, Lord, for those all about us. Lord, there are those that suffered the loss of loved ones. And Father, we pray that you'd be their strength in this hour. We pray, God, for those that have lost their homes, lost their houses, the buildings in which they live in. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. And Lord, for each one that's suffering and going through even the trauma and the stress of it all, even hearing a little thunder this morning and bringing back the memories of that, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd minister to those needs. Lord, as we come together to worship, Lord, we now pray that, first of all, that you'd help us now to set aside things so that we can focus upon you and hear from you this morning, and at the same time keep our heart tender to those about us that are in need. And Lord, for those of us who have the opportunity to do good to those that have been touched by this, we pray that you give us direction and guidance about how to do that. Now, Lord, may your will be done as we come together to worship this day. We thank you, Lord, for Senior Adult Day. Thank you, Lord, for the senior adults in our church and for those that's paved the way for us here in our church throughout the years. As Lord, we've had some of the most wonderful senior adults that a church could ever have. Thank you, God, for the blessings of those that have served us here so faithfully. Now, Lord, we pray that this day would bring you glory and honor. And as we worship, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn to you, bowing before your presence, proclaiming you for who you are. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome you this day. We're glad to have you to be a part of this service. All across our convention today, we're celebrating Senior Adult Day. And so it's a little bit different kind of a day, but we're glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll feel really at home and feel a part of this service. And the pew rack in front of you is a little white card. If you've not done so previously, if you take that and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate at the end of the service, we would appreciate that. I've mentioned it today is Senior Adult Day. And when we think about in the scripture, there are many senior adults that are biblical heroes to us. There's individuals like Abraham and Moses. Caleb and Joshua stand out to me as tremendous senior adults who served God faithfully, who made such an impact for God. In Proverbs 16:31, we're told that the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. I guess mine's going to be a bald head, but so I'm just jealous of those that get silver and not bald, I guess. But you know, it seems like in other cultures, old age is treated differently. It's treated with much more respect. I know that when we were in Kenya, in Africa, back many years ago, that when we were there, they treated senior adults with great, great respect. They thought Paul Stout, with his nice, beautiful silver hair, they kept calling Paul a man of wisdom. And I think he is a man of wisdom.
Yeah.
But that's how they referred to it. They referred to me as a very rich man. I said, really? And they said, yes, you're rich, you're fat. But unlike this society, sometimes we don't value senior adults quite like other societies. I heard about a lady who was waiting on a parking place. She was about to pull in the parking place, senior adult lady, and all of a sudden this young punk pulls in real quick in front of her, grabs and jumps in, getting her parking place, and he jumps out of his car and he says, oh, to be young and fast. And she thought about that just for a second. She began to take her car and began to ran his car in that parking place. And he came running back, what are you doing, lady? What are you doing? And she said, oh, to be old and rich. But when I think about Senior Adult Day, and I think about senior adults, if you saw my newsletter article this week, I thought about my grandfather's. I told the story again about the mule blinders. Think about grandparents. And I came across this little thing I want to read for you today for Senior Adult Day. And you probably have heard this, but it's good enough to hear again. And it asks the question, what's a grandmother, what's a grandfather? And it goes like this. It's a 9-year-old girl's description of her grandparents. She wrote, a grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's little girls. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with the boys, and they talk about fishing and tractors and like that. Grandmas don't have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have lots of dimes ready, or if they take us for walks, they should slow down past things like pretty leaves or caterpillars. They should never, ever say hurry up. Usually they're fat, but not too fat to tie kids' shoes. They wear glasses and wear funny underwear. They can take their teeth out and their gums off. It is better if they don't typewrite or play cards except with us. They don't have to be smart, only answer questions like, why do dogs hate cats and how come God isn't married? They don't talk baby talk like visitors do because it's hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip or mind if it's the same old story again. Everybody should try to have one, especially if you don't have television, because grandmas are the only grown-ups who've got time. We're grateful for grandmothers and grandfathers and senior adults, and God has blessed our church with certainly fine, wonderful senior adults. Some of you are sitting out there in the congregation, and some are behind me here in the choir, and God has blessed us, and we thank the Lord for you today.
Our next hymn was written by a lady who was blind, and for her to express in this hymn this line that she does should really make this hymn mean something to us for sure. Fanny Crosby, she says, "For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Oh, that we could have that as our, have some wisdom in that way to understand life as it comes, that God makes no mistakes, and that we can accept that which comes that will be good for us and will make us more like Him as we walk in His steps. I'll let you remain seated. 62 in your hymnal, 62, all the way, My Savior Leads Me.
All the way My Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way My Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way My Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in My Father's house above, where My Spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
334, 334. All verses, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 334, shall we stand?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Some of you know I like to use a little Billy Graham touch to this, as they sang it in the Crusades many years ago, and probably still are. As we get to the chorus, this is my story. All right, on the chorus when we get there, just like that. All right, second verse.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst from my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you.
If you'll take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Today's sermon title is Praying in Faith. Praying in Faith. Starting in verse 2 of James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Just a closer walk with Thee. is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Thank you, Elmer, and thank you, Senior Adult Choir, and thank you, Jean. I tell you, Jean's talented, isn't she? She can really sing, and she can teach, and she's something else. But this year's theme for Senior Adult Day, Praying in Faith, is taken from 1 Corinthians 2:5, which reads, "So that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Faith is foundational for our Christian experience. The author of Hebrews defines faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And he goes on to state, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believing in God, seeking him, communicating with him, praying to him are all faith-based exercises. Today's theme calls upon all of us, but particularly our senior adults, to pray in faith. You know, praying is powerful. It brings about results. Matter of fact, James says, he says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And then he goes on to cite the example of Elijah, and he says about Elijah, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, I'm not advocating praying for droughts or praying for rain. Though I can tell you, it's possible to pray about the weather. And if you want examples of that, if you want a testimony of that, just talk to our daughter Natalie. She's prayed for rain, and it rained right on time. She was at a track meet one day, and she didn't want to run, and she was praying and praying. And the whole track meet went along until it got to her race, and then it looked like it did the other night. The worst storm in history came. And that's matter of fact, Laura calls Natalie to pray about the weather for her. So that's just a little cue there for you to pray for you on weather. But I do believe that a powerful prayer life is possible for us, especially when we pray in faith. James instructs us that when we pray, that we must believe and not doubt. He said, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. With those thoughts as our foundation, praying in faith, what does it mean to pray in faith? And how can I pray in faith? What's it look like? Well, I just pulled out some things from Scripture today that would help us think about what would it look like if I'm going to pray in faith, if I'm going to have a powerful prayer life, if my prayers are going to accomplish much. And so I came up with 7 different things, so probably what it looks like to me as we think about praying in faith. First of all, praying in faith is sincere praying. Praying in faith is sincere praying. Sincere praying is talking to God honestly, openly. It's talking to God and addressing God. You're not talking to other people to impress them, but you're talking to God. Years ago, they were doing the dedication service of the Bunker Hill Monument up in the Boston area, and one of New England's finest preachers, orators, was there, and he was asked to give a prayer for the occasion. And the next day in the newspaper, the Boston newspaper wrote about it to the next day, and it said, it was one of the finest prayers ever delivered to a Boston audience. You know, we've all heard prayers that were delivered to audiences but not delivered to God. I would tell you that sincere prayer understands that we are praying to God. Jesus said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. It says, don't be like the hypocrites. Hypocrisy is play acting. Prayer is not acting apart before God. God, who knows all, sees all, hears all, sifts through all the pretense. This God that we pray to He knows what we're praying about. And so the person that's a hypocrite is playing a part. Don't be like a hypocrite, but rather be sincere. Be real with God. Be who you are. Address God for who he is. Jesus quoted Isaiah in Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9. He said about the Jewish leaders, he said, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." When we pray, our hearts, when you pray, don't let your heart be far from you. You're talking to God. You're talking to him. You're not trying to impress him with your words. You're not trying to impress anybody else. You're talking to God. Sincere prayer is you talking to God. That's where we begin in praying in faith. The second thing about praying in faith is private praying. Is private praying. Now, there's a time and place for public praying. We do that at all of our services here at church. We come together and we pray. And we pray in small groups in Sunday school and things like that. But we all know, we hope we know, that there's a difference between what we pray about publicly and what we pray about privately. Public prayer, by the way, is not the time that we confess our individual sins, even though maybe somebody would like to hear us confess those. But it's not the time to start listing out all your sins. And it's not maybe not even the time to call forth specific, particularly personal prayer requests of other folks. But there's a time for public prayer, but I'm talking about the kind of prayer, the prayer of faith is the kind of prayer that Jesus said about. He said, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." To go into your prayer closet. The great Baptist preacher, R.G. Lee, used to pastor at Bellevue Baptist in Memphis. He gave this instructions about prayer. He said, "Get in your closet. Shut the door. Shut out everything and everybody except God and you. Praying to God in private, you get an answer which is public. Through you and your private prayer, it will be known that God answers prayer." We need to get into the private place with God before we go into the public place for God. We need to be in the closet with God before we go into the conflict for God and for others. We need to hide ourselves with God before we show ourselves for God. Private prayer, that we would spend time in private prayer, that we would shut ourselves off from the rest of the world. And, you know, it speaks about a prayer closet. And you may take that literal, I guess, if you can get in your closet. A lot of us have trouble even just getting in our closets. But if you had a closet or a place that you would go to, a private place, a place that would be shut off from everybody else, that you would go to that place and you would spend time with God there. Now that, and it could be inside of a house, it could be outdoors. In the scripture, there's all kinds of places where people prayed. You don't have to just come to God's house. You certainly can pray in your house, you can pray in your car. I would advise you to pray in your car with the folks driving today. It's important that you would pray in your car. But pray out wherever you are. Pray. And you say, "Well, what position should I pray in?" That's a good question. In the scripture, there's all sorts of positions given about how you would pray. David, we're told, sat and prayed in 2 Samuel 7:18. Solomon knelt and prayed in 1 Kings 8:54. Hannah stood and prayed in 1 Samuel 1:26. Jehoshaphat lay prostrate and prayed in 2 Chronicles 20:18. Moses prayed with arms outstretched in Exodus 9:29. And then Paul urged everyone to pray with hands raised in 1 Timothy 2:8. There's a lot of variety there. There's a lot of you pray as you feel led. I would encourage you when you can, if you're able, I would encourage you to get on your knees and pray. I would encourage you, get on your face and pray. I would encourage you to walk out and take a walk in nature and see the things that God has made and spend some time praying to God in that kind of a time also. Prayer can be offered at any time, anywhere. Prayer that is accepted by God is sincere prayer offered to him and not for somebody else's ear. It's like the story I heard about the little boy saying the prayer over his meal and sort of mumbling the prayer. And the father said, "Speak up, son, I can't hear." And he said, "Well, I'm not talking to you." Understand, private prayer, we're talking to God. We're talking to God, sincere prayer. And then third, praying in faith is specific praying. It's specific praying. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 6
In verse 7, he said, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, he said. Jesus illustrates this thing about specific praying, and somebody, don't just babble, don't just mouth words. But he illustrates specific praying, and does so in Luke 11:5, when he's given a story there. And hear what he says. He said, speaks about a man who's had some company come, and he goes to his neighbor to ask for some things. And he said, that's how you're supposed to approach God. And this is this, verse 5. He says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, I want you to hear how specific Jesus was about that. He didn't just go, he wasn't instructing him, just go to your neighbor and say, we need something to eat. You know, if you go do that, who knows what you're going to get. And so he says, give me bread to eat. But you notice he doesn't just said, give me bread to eat. He said, give me 3 loaves of bread. And the point is that when we pray, we need to be very specific when we pray. We need to ask God exactly that which is on our heart. A couple of things about that. When you and I pray for forgiveness of sin, we need to confess our sins to God. And when it says to confess it, then it means that we're to say about that sin the same thing God says about it. And so when you and I, when we sin before God, and if you're a Christian, when you sin, God's Spirit will come upon you and say, okay, you shouldn't have done that. You need to confess that and turn away from that. Then you need to confess that very sin. So for instance, let's say that I tell Brother Elmer a lie. I wouldn't do it for the world, Elmer, but just pretend that I did. And if I were to tell Elmer a lie, then as God's Spirit would speak to me, then I would say to God, forgive me, I lied to Elmer. You know what God would say about that also? He'd say, you're forgiven, man, but go get it right with Elmer. That's what he would say. So I have to go get it right. But as we sin, God says that we're to confess that sin individually. Specifically, you confess your sins specifically. And, you know, sometimes we say, God, save all the lost people in the world. Well, first of all, friends, That's not how you pray. That's not how we pray for lost people, because you're praying for God to do something that's against the very nature of God. You just prayed for universalism. You just prayed that God would just do something that God in His Word is against His character. And so then how do I pray? I pray specifically. And so I pray by name, or maybe I pray by a particular people group. Let's say I'm praying for our adopted village in Kalkara, Malta. And what I would pray then is that, God, I pray that there would be some in the village of Kalkara, Malta, somebody there that would respond to the gospel, somebody there, Lord, that would accept you for the personal Lord and Savior. Lord, and I pray that maybe even as our mission team would go there, God, I pray that you would open doors so that they would share the gospel, and Lord, you would have divine appointments set up for them, that they would, that they would see fruit from their labor, that sees people come to know you. And then as you start to pray for, you know, Beth Moore and others who are doing missions, and you pray for specific individuals, that God would touch specifically those individuals, and God would do that. You don't just pray just in mass, God just save all the people. It doesn't work that way. And you say, well, it sounds like to me that that's going to take more time than what I've been doing. Yes, it probably means that. It probably means that a lot of us, our prayers are real quick. Lord, thank you for the day. Forgive me of all my sins. Save all the people. Heal all the sick. Amen. Let's get on with it. And we're out the door. That's not really praying. That's not. You just went through a religious exercise, but that's not sincere praying. That's not pouring your heart out to God. So we pray specifically. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. E.M. Bounds, a great writer about prayer, said, faith must be definite and specific. It must be an unqualified, unmistakable request for the things asked for. It should not be a vague, indefinite, shadowy thing. It should be a definite, specific asking for and expecting the things for which we pray. So as you pray, and that's why it's important, you know, that you maybe even that you keep a prayer list, that you write it down. You know, and you write down for, you know, somebody sick, pray for that person specifically by name. Somebody having a hard time with their family, pray specifically for them. Pray for those folks, you know, as you open the paper today, and there's several articles today about the different folks that's been impacted today with these tornadoes. And, you know, we can pray in a large gathering like this, we can pray for those that's been affected. But I would tell you that you take your newspaper, and as you flip open those pages, that as you read those articles, then that you would pray for those specific individuals. God, pray for this lady and her, pray for this lady's family in Butler who died. Lord, we lift up there. Take some time and do that. You know, it's when you get your newspaper and you open it up and you see the obituary column, you know, it's one thing to look through it and see, make sure your name's not there. But also when you're doing that, pray for those families. Pray for those families. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can incorporate prayer in your daily life, but praying specifically this way. Number four, praying in faith is submissive praying. It's submissive praying. In the model prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Before Jesus was arrested and crucified, he prayed in the garden. He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Submissive praying is to say to God, "God, your will, not my will. God, what would be your will? That I submit my will, that I die to my will." And often it talks about we pray in the name of Jesus. And some folks take that thing to mean that if you pray in the name of Jesus, you can ask for anything you want, and Jesus will do just anything you want as long as you pray in His name. It's sort of like doing a magical spell of some kind. Just as long as you pray in Jesus' name, you'll get it. That's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying in the character of Jesus, in who He is and in His character. And in His character, He always prayed with submission to the Father's will. "God, your will." Jesus said this. He said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do even greater things than these," speaking about His miracles, "because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." But He's talking about those things that will bring glory to the Father. This is not a free check that you fill in the amount that you want, but it's an assurance that when you pray God's will, our prayers will be answered. In 1 John 5:14, John put it this way, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." That's a far different claim than the name it, claim it folks. You know, there's folks out there just say you just have to name it, claim it, and God will do it. You know, and just and by the way, if you're going to do that, send it a seed offering to Brother Joe. He'll appreciate it. That's the kind of thing that is. That's a sham. It's not praying for God's will. So submissive prayer, when we pray, "God, your will, God." And I will tell you that when we get to the place of praying for God's will, we will see marvelous answers to prayer. We come into God's presence and we would say, "God, this is what I pray for. But God, more than that, I acknowledge that you're the sovereign God upon the throne. You've got everything under control. And so, God, I pray for your will to be done. And I pray that you'll help adapt my attitude about what you're going. And may I be submissive to your will." Submissive praying. "God, your will, not my will." Number five, praying in faith is gracious praying. Praying in faith is gracious praying. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "If you're offering your gift on the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar and first and go be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. If you forgive men when they sin against you, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Isaiah 59:2 tells us that our sins separate us from God. Our iniquities make it so that God will not hear us. One of the reasons why that our prayers are so ineffective is because we're so full of bitterness and so full of holding grudges against others. We are so resistant to forgiving others. We've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, what you ask for in prayer, believe that you'll receive it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who's in heaven forgive your sins. Here's the deal. You see that Jesus links. He links prayer. He links as far as how that God's going to respond to our prayers. He links that with our forgiveness of others. And it goes both ways, he says. You can find passages where he says it both ways. First of all, if you've done something to somebody else, you need to go get that straight with them. You need to get that right with them. Or your prayers are going nowhere. And then the flip side of it is if somebody has done something to you and you're holding that big grudge and just wanting to lash out and get back at them, Jesus says you've got to forgive them. You've got to go and determine in your heart that it's over and you do away with it, or else your prayers will be null and void. It goes both ways. God says you've got to keep your relationships right if your prayer life is going to be powerful. Amen. That's hard. I know that's hard. I don't like it either, but that's God. That's not Joe. That's the way it works, God says. You want your prayer life to be fruitful. You want your prayers to be answered from God. Then you've got to deal with those who've hurt you, and you've got to deal with those that you've hurt. And it takes much grace. And you say, well, if I go to them, and what if they don't forgive me? That's their problem. Then that becomes their problem between them and God. Amen. Your issue is to go and to be genuinely sorrowful, repentant. Your issue is to say, I've done you wrong. And I ask for forgiveness, and they may not forgive you. That's their problem, but your attitude. And then to go ahead and determine in your heart where somebody's hurt you, to go ahead and say, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. Make that determination. Go ahead and forgive them. Number six, praying in faith. Praying in faith is persistent praying. Praying in faith is persistent praying. In Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. The language of this indicates that it's a continual thing, that you continue to ask, you continue to knock, you continue to seek. It's continual, that you continue. It's a persistent action, persistent praying. It's the point that Jesus made in a... You see the story that happened to Jesus, and you see this in Matthew 15, verse 21, following. You see that there's a Canaanite woman who came, and she persisted in asking Jesus. She just would not let Jesus go, and she kept on asking, and Jesus answers her request, and then he speaks about that's how that your Father in heaven, he's going to answer those kind of requests. And then he tells the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. And in that story, he says, just like how that a persistent widow wore down this mean man, he said, so much more your Father in heaven, who loves you so much, if you will continue to ask him how he will respond. Sometimes God doesn't answer right off. Sometimes there's a waiting period. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. Sometimes the timing is wrong. Sometimes the prayer's wrong. It needs to be adjusted just a little bit. Sometimes the prayer's wrong, you know. Sometimes God wants to work in your life and get your life right, and then the prayer will get answered. Sometimes the heart's wrong. There's a lot of different reasons of why God doesn't answer right when we pray. Then we've got to just submit to him and say, Sovereign God, you're on the throne. I'm going to keep asking you until you tell me to stop praying this. I sense that about the Apostle Paul. You know, he had the thorn in the flesh, and he prayed for God to remove that. And it was like God said, Paul, you can stop asking. I'm not going to do it. You can stop asking. And the Apostle Paul said, I've asked, and now God's not going to do it, so I'm going to live with it. And sometimes God is going to do that in our lives. We're going to ask for things, and God's going to say, nope. And then and he'll say, you can stop asking for that. And then there's other things that he will say, I want to see your heart. I want to see how urgent you are about this. E.M. Bounds wrote, I have no doubt that much of our praying fails for a lack of persistence. So many of our prayers are said without the fire and strength of perseverance. Persistence is the essence of true praying. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want something? Is it just something just zipped through your mind? I'll say, God's not a genie bottle. God's not a genie in a bottle. You know, some of us treat God that way. Or, you know, we rub the bottle, out pops a genie. Okay, God, I'll take my three requests today. That's not God. That's a cartoon. It's not God. We must continually persistent pray, and often through the persistence, God will change our prayers to get it to the place that it fits His will, and then He says, that's right, now you're praying right, and now here it is. Number seven, final point, praying in faith is selfless praying. Praying in faith is selfless praying. In James 4, verse 2 and 3, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have it because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. True prayer requires that we relinquish selfish motives and ambitions. When we pray, it's not like a kid putting together a Christmas list to mail off to Santa Claus. It's not what prayer is. And it's not like a spoiled child making a demand to his parents. It's God. It's God. And so then when we pray, it's selfless. God, I die to myself. And truthfully, in prayer, our prayers should be a lot more praise and a lot more confession and a lot more thanksgiving and a whole lot more listening than it is asking. And set time with Him, and as you pray that way, then God will transform your life. He'll change your life. Praying in faith, it's sincere praying, it's private praying, it's specific praying, it's submissive praying, gracious praying, persistent praying, selfless praying. On this Senior Adult Day, I challenge our senior adults to be people that are powerful in prayer. I challenge all of us to be individuals that pray in faith and be powerful prayer warriors. I'm reminded of the words of Henry Martin, who said, prayer is the great thing. Oh, that I might be a man of prayer. And may that be our own desire. May that be the desire of our hearts. God, I may not be able to do all sorts of things, but God, I pray that I'd become a mighty man. I'd be a mighty woman of prayer. May it be said that I would have such faith and I'd have such diligence in my prayer life that others would seek me out and say, I want you to pray for me. I know that you have the faith. I know you've got such a walk with God that I can count on you, and I want you to pray for me. May we be individuals of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we come together this day, we would be so quick to say, Lord, for a lot of us, and I start with me, Lord, a lot of us, we don't pray like we should. We don't spend the time. We don't get in that prayer closet. We try to do life on our own. We're so busy doing and running, and with all the preoccupations of life, Lord, for a lot of us, even the notion of spending real time in prayer, Lord, that's just not been something that's been on our radar for a long time. Father, I want to ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us, God, for living life on our own, being too busy to pray. Forgive us, God. And now, Lord, we pray that you would teach us from your word as we've looked at a lot of scripture today. Lord, help us, Lord, to be persons of prayer. Lord, I ask that you would place a real burden on our heart about it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to carve out some time away from everything else, and Lord, we'd spend some time with you. Lord, help us not to have all the other time doing the other things, but Lord, help us to recognize we need some time with you. And then, Lord, help us then through the course of each day, Lord, to be constantly praying, constant in communion with you, Lord. Help us to realize, Lord, that you are with us every second wherever we go. And just like we could talk to a good friend along throughout the course of a day, Lord, help us to realize that you're right there. We could talk to you all day long, Lord, to be continual in prayer. Father, we ask that you would raise up in our church a group of people, a church that so loves you and so seeks you, that would be mighty people of prayer. And we pray this now in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. As we come together now to this invitation, perhaps the Lord spoke in your heart today about your own prayer life. Perhaps He spoke to you about things in past days, and there's decisions you need to make, decisions you've been waiting to make. We ask you to come at this time and make those decisions. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll ask our ushers to come forward now as we receive our morning offering.
Thank you, Nancy and Debbie, for that beautiful offertory this morning. As we come to a conclusion of our morning worship service today, just a few announcements to mention. Miss Vicki wanted me to mention about the prayer calendars that for VBS. There were calendars in your Sunday school classrooms this morning. If you did not receive one or they ran out, we do have some out here in the foyer in the as you exit the sanctuary. They should be on a little table back there. So please pick one up. It gives you 31 days of the month of May just to pray for VBS. So this is one of the greatest outreach opportunities. It's probably one of the biggest evangelistic outreaches that children come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So please make sure you grab one of those as you do head out. Also, Brother Jeff Acock wanted me to mention about the laundry ministry. They will be at the doors as you head out. They'll have their little jugs of Tide or Gain, All, whichever one. They'll have little jugs there. So please just put some any excess change that you have in your pocket, as well as I mentioned about the prayer calendars for VBS. There will also be a VBS workers meeting tonight downstairs in the fellowship hall immediately after the service tonight. Vicki needs to talk with all those who are a part of that. And last announcement, the youth that are doing the interpretive movement for Youth Sunday, we will be meeting tonight after the worship service as well here in the sanctuary. As we come to a conclusion of even announcements and all things, I'm going to ask Brother Eric Stevens to come and close us out. As Brother Eric comes, could I please have everyone stand?
Let us pray. Father God, what a great day it's been to be in your house today, and we praise you for these senior adults, and we just ask that you lay a special blessing on them. And Father God, we praise you for allowing us to go directly to you in prayer, Lord, and we just thank you for the power of prayer, and we just ask that our prayers would honor you, and they would glorify you, Lord, and they would be fruitful, Lord. And as VBS is right here around the corner, Lord, we just ask that you would be preparing the hearts of the workers, preparing the hearts of the children throughout the community that will be visiting with us, Lord. And we just ask that that would be a great success, Lord, as an outreach. And Father God, thank you for your love. And as we leave your house today, just help others to see your love in us, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.